ran across something that some of you have already heard, but it's 12 years old. And I just want you to listen. So I want you to just close your eyes. Seven Revelations for 2000. Given by Kim by the Holy Spirit, December 31st, 1999, New Year's Eve. Are you ready? Having sought the Lord for what he wants for all of us in the year 2000, he brought me into the First Peter, and he pressed me to check in with being holy. He pressed me to receive what you and I deserve to be revealed for all of us for the year 2000. Number one, he said 2000 is represented by the only number that is visible, the number two. The number two represents division or separation, so we must take on the new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, you are in Christ Jesus, a new creation, therefore let the soulish nature die. So you are going to be dividing the first nature and your new nature. Number two, he said we must unite in the Spirit for Grace Church to be rebuilt unto God and his glorious plan. This place is to be his holy temple of praise and worship for our God and our Father. He says, we will be flexible and ready to adapt to the new move of the Holy Spirit as he brings more of his fire and power and love inside his people. Make ready for his glory. If you are going to be doing what you think is right, the glory will never fall. Number four. We are to be a holy priesthood and to take on the sins of those who offend us. Say ouch.
Ouch.
Because it's going to hurt. You to take on the sins of those who hate your guts and confess it as your own. Especially those who despitefully use you for their own greed and their own lust. You're not going to like that job, but it is the job he's giving us, for the new creation cannot come alive until you and I lay down our lives for each other. We will repent for them and pray for them as never before. And to lay down our lives for all of what they have done against us. Not retaliate like some of you are trying to do, because you know what retaliation does. It's going to bring you back to 99. How many know that 99 was a year of pain? Do you want some more? Then keep on doing what you did in 99. Number five. He said there will be no room for the selfish, deceitful plans of soulish men to have their way and to feed upon the weaknesses of their brothers and sisters by gossiping. These will be exposed in such a manner as it says in Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17. Go to your brother, etc. Take another as a witness. If they refuse to listen to you, then if they refuse, expose it to the church. You see, our quest is to unite in love and not deceive person or spirit. Will be no deceiver or deceived person or spirit will be allowed to rule or control Grace Church. Number six, he said, be visible as healers and lovers of the broken and the deceived individuals, and be ready to help them to see clearly so that they may be like Jesus, totally made whole by the Holy Spirit. Number seven, take a deep breath. That's it. He said to discover the bridegroom and to stay in love with him. And he is with you and me, his bride, to be ready. Anytime he shows up, to be willing to obey his demands and desires for the well-being of the body of Christ. To resist the enemy as he is exposed and to work diligently with the Spirit of God towards the high calling that he is in your spirit. That is his plan for your life. God's plan for your life is in this earth and will not be aborted. To God be the glory. For his promise in 2 Peter 3:8 says, one day is as 1,000 years. He says, another 2 days, I will resurrect. 2 days are done now. It's about an hour. They're done. In fact, if you were in Jerusalem right now, they would be done for 6 hours. 2 days are done now, and it is the time of resurrection. This is true. A new day for the sons of the Father to be revealed in the earth, Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead, is your example. How many days did he stay in the grave? 3 days. On the third day he resurrected. So the process of resurrection began after the second day. So come out of your old deadly nature of the soul, live by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, and be like Jesus. 1 Peter 4:18 says, he was put to death for our sins, but made alive by his Spirit. You and I have to put the soulish ways to death, and then the Holy Ghost will resurrect you. That's what I have to give to you for New Year's 2000. You see, you are going to have to come higher than you've ever been before. If you want to be walking in the Spirit and being and living in the Spirit like he wants you to do, so take a chance, stand tall, come higher, come higher, come higher. Has his message changed?
No.
It's 12 years. Completed 12 years. You even got a bonus of a couple of months. Are you ready to let go of the old? I pray you are. Today he told me to go to Luke 19, so we're going to go there after. But I just want to give you a heads up before we go there. I think what he's done in 12 years is try to recreate in us the gifts of the Spirit of his Son. And he's spread them out. How many of you 12 years ago would have been able to take off all of your old iniquity and all your fear tactics and give out what God's Spirit told you to give out publicly? I don't want you to raise your hands. I just know you know it in your heart. If you haven't developed your spiritual senses, you're getting lazy. If you say, well, I was a baby then and I'm a baby now, it's time to grow up. A couple weeks ago, I told you guys it's no longer time for Pampers. It's time for pull-ups. And I'm not trying to go back there. I'm trying to tell you, get ready. The bridegroom is coming. He's going to inspect to see if you've decided to do anything for him and with him inside of you. Am I the same person I was 12 years ago?
Nope.
Am I doing better than I was? Yes. Am I faithful to do the most I know how in order to obey him? Yes. Has he completed his work in me? Yes. Is Kim still stubborn? Sometimes. Come on. Come on. Some of you must have at least a couple of ounces of flesh left. Thank you. He's not finished yet, but we are in progress. And you know, when I found that paper a couple weeks ago, I looked at it and I said, heavens, thank you. You have done a work in me. Yes, you have done. And I'm grateful. And do I pray for Grace Church as the Lord leads? Yes. Do I set them free for what was done? Absolutely. Why? Because holding grudges is only going to pull me down. I should have heard amen. Come on. How many of you have ever been offended by a Christian? Thank you. Thank you. I got a solution for you. Look at your neighbor. Say, get over it.
Get over it.
It's time to knock it off.
Let it go.
And let God heal you.
Like
he's healing me.
Amen.
Now that's pretty simple instructions, right? Not complicated. Get over it. Now, that doesn't mean that it won't hurt. That doesn't mean that there won't be any pain. There might be a few splinters. But get the log out of your own eyes and out of your own heart before you start picking on your neighbor. Okay? That's scripture too, isn't it? Okay? Get it out of your eye, meaning don't focus on it, and just get over it. And say, that was for then, and I will obey the Lord. Now, before you go to Luke 19, I want you to remember John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30. Jesus never did anything to please himself. He waited for the Father to reveal things to him. He waited for the visions and the word of knowledge, whatever he had to receive, in order to obey. Now you can say amen.
Amen.
All right. This is not going to take three days. It's just going to be a short little message about how our God is a wonderful, wonderful Father, and he equipped his Son, Jesus Christ, by the Holy Ghost to know things ahead of time. Verse 28. Luke 19, 28. I know there were some people born in that year. If that qualifies you, just rejoice. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden." It's very important to know that this colt has never had anybody on its back. Why would that be important? Because it's not been trained. It is a wild colt. Did you ever try to hop on the back of a wild horse? Or a wild colt? Anybody know that these animals are a little bit feisty? A little bit stubborn, like you and me? Okay? Did God choose that on purpose? Yes, because he can ride you and me out no matter how stubborn we may be. You think, wait a minute, how? Then he says, untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Tell him the Lord needs it. Now, you say, how did he get this instruction? Could he have had a vision?
Could.
Could it be a word of knowledge?
Could.
Could be Papa whispered in his ear. Do you ever have Papa whisper in your ear and say, don't take that road, there's a problem, take the other road home? Come on. Thank you. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to me. I hope he's talking to you. Aha. Did we hit a target over there? You having a good time? Bobby, you trying to get away with some here? Wait a minute. Verse 32. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. And they were untying the colt. Its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." Do you see them rebelling against the two? Who has told these people that the colt is going to be demanded by the Lord because the Lord's going to have a need? Who whispered to these people? The same Holy Spirit. Not a different spirit, the same Holy Spirit. Prepared them as well as those who were going to take off with the colt. Now, They replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. And he went along. People spread their cloaks on the road. Why is that important? Because it would spook a normal colt that's never been ridden. Do you see Jesus falling off? Can he ride you out? Even if you get spooked? Can he hold on to you? Can he stay right back on your back until you get to the finish line? Uh-huh. Say, look at your neighbor. And tell him right now, he's going to ride me out. Until we get to victory. Never mind, Bobby. I saw that. Next time I'm going to have Bobby look at me. How's that?
He's hiding behind his book.
He's hiding behind his Bible, huh?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, we'll love him anyway. All right. Verse 36. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the ground or on the road, and it did not spook the animal. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Loud voices. Did you ever hear loud complaining against you? Is Jesus going to get off your back? No! Loud voices will not and should not spook you. Loud voices should not irritate where you're going or keep you from going on that direct path all the way to the victory line. Amen? If you have your development within your spirit, revelation knowledge will keep you on track. And you will hear the Lord tapping you on the shoulder saying, come on, kiddo, you're doing fine. Don't get discouraged. I believe the Lord was tapping that little colt every time somebody was screaming and yelling, and every time the branches almost touched his nose, he was calming him down. Cool it, buddy. We're going to make it. Bobby, you're going to make it. Yeah. All right. 38. Blessed the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I love this part. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. I think the colt got a little bit of tears on his back. And it didn't shake him. And he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Meaning their spirit man was totally unable to see. And my quest to you is to get you to be developed in your spiritual senses. And so that you will be able to receive that which God has prepared for you and those around you. Because the word of knowledge is available to you and me. The visions are available for you and me as well as whoever you decide to pray for and you decide to obey. Those spiritual senses will give you guidelines and confirmations over and over until you're capable of doing that which Jesus did. That's his press for the house of prayer. He is not interested to come to have you come to the church and just, worship the chair and worship the bench and worship the song. No! Don't worship the pastor because you don't like it. Worship the Lord. If I take any glory, you're in trouble. And so am I. He's the one that gave me what I've got. He's the one that gave the word in order to be setting you free. And you know what? He's going to keep you free. Because he's riding you. Even with the stubborn nature. He knows how much your soul can say no. He knew how much my soul would say no and for how long it would continue. Going its own way. Stubborn! Why? Because the only way he can calm me down is Jesus. Close your eyes. Say, the only one. That can calm my nature down. That Adamic nature. That stubborn nature. That thinks it knows best. He and he alone can calm me down. And I want to recognize when my Savior is telling me cool it, to hear him loud and clear and obey as quickly as possible. In Jesus' name,
I pray.
You got the message. Is it hard? No. He'll do it all by the Holy Ghost. Can he change us? Absolutely. Can he heal us? Absolutely. Is he delivering us? Yes. And he's not finished with me yet.